I invite you to open your Bibles this morning to Psalm 150. Psalm 150. You know, we're in this series entitled Rhythms, and we're creating these rhythms, we're creating these habits that we apply to everyday life. We've talked about prayer, we've talked about fasting and silence. Today I want us to talk about worship. And worship means a lot of things to a lot of people, but here's the definition we're going to work off of today as we try to create this rhythm. It is a rhythm of biblical response. Biblical response to God as the one you value most. So it is a biblical response, not just any response, but a biblical response to God as the one you value most. You know, this week I was working on a guest list of some people that were trying to get in to lead us in worship and teach us in the coming year. And I thought to myself, you know, who could I announce this week? Who could I have announced? Hey, this person's going to be there Sunday, February 28th. That would have gotten you really excited about it. It would have got you kind of in that frame going, man, I got to get there. I got to make sure I get one of those seats that's not marked off. I don't want to miss it. Matter of fact, you would have been so excited that at some point this week, you would have told somebody you work with or something, hey, man, you need to be at Green Valley. You're never going to guess who's going to be there. Who would that have been? I say that because sometimes we forget that this moment, our God says, I want to meet with you. That he knew you were going to be here sitting exactly where you were on this day. And before time began, he says, I want to meet with you. And sometimes we miss that, don't we? And so that's why, you know, Mason led us in that song. I really think that's kind of a starting point when you think about a biblical response to God as the one you value most. Sometimes we just need to kind of rewind and back up and go, God, I'm sorry for just going through the motions. I'm sorry that I just sing another song. I'm sorry, God, that I come with my own agenda. I'm sorry, God, that I forgot that you were enough. Now think about that. So what is your response? You know, as we think about worship and you think about your response, because as we're going to find out today, you are going to worship today. You will worship this week. We all worship. But God calls us to worship him. He not only calls us, you can just say he kind of commands us to worship him. In Psalm 1, if you're there in your Bible, if not, you can look on the screen. It simply says this is kind of a pinnacle of the book of Psalms, and the book of Psalms is just a book of songs about worship. And it says, praise the Lord. And the word praise means it's more than encouragement. It's a command. It's compelling us. It says, praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise him for his acts of power. Praise him for his surpassing greatness. And look at this. He says, praise him with the sounding of the trumpet. Praise him with the harp and the lyre, the stringed instrument. He goes on. He says, praise him with the timbrel or the tambourine. It is an acoustic instrument. Praise him. Uh-oh. This is going to scare some of y'all. Praise him with dancing. Praise him with strings and pipe. Praise him. Anybody play the cymbals in the band growing up? Anybody? And your parents said, stop doing that. God says, hit them puppies again. And praise him with the cymbals, and in case you didn't get it, praise him with resounding cymbals. And then he just simply says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. One of the things you have to understand is that God has called us to worship him today. And it's all about him. Anytime we talk about worship, there's so many people who say, you know, well, I know what you're saying, man. That's just not my deal. That's really not who I am. So I want everybody, we've got a little test today, okay? Because a lot of times I know I probably talk about things, you go, man, I don't have any idea what he's talking about, and that's really not, he's not talking to me. I want everybody to do is, y'all ready? Everybody online, ready? You ready? All right, he's talking to you. And so everything that has breath, and this is a message just for you and just for me. He says, I want you to know I've called you to worship. There is an invitation from God. It's all about him. I don't know if you ever get excited about invitations. You get invited to something, you go, man, I'm looking forward to that. I remember when I used to work with the Air Force, I was always get excited when I get those formal invitations in the email. They were having some kind of event and somebody was going to be there, invited to go here, go there, to fly here, whatever it might have been. I'd get so excited about that invitation. I couldn't wait for it to happen. And God says, listen, I just want you to know, whatever you came in with today, I've invited you here. I've called you here. I've commanded you to be here. God calls us to worship him. Another thing about worship, as you think about your biblical response, not just any response, but a biblical response to God as the one you value most, is that understanding is that God, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, God saved you to worship him, and that worship is to be a witness to other people. Have you ever thought about that? He saved you. A lot of people get up and go, I just don't know what God's will is for my life. I can tell you exactly what God's will for your life is. For you to worship him. For you to respond biblically to him as the one you value most. That is his purpose for your life. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, it says to everybody who's a follower of Jesus Christ, he says, you're a chosen people. Man, I love the way he talks about it. I'll put this on a t-shirt. You're a chosen people, a royal priesthood. You got a ministry. You're a holy nation. You're different. You're God's special possession that you may declare the praise of him who called you out of darkness into wonderful light. He says your purpose on this planet as someone who is a follower of Jesus Christ is that you are to worship him. And that is a witness to other people. You know, every church I've ever been at, there's always a group that sits out worship. Did y'all know that? Are y'all aware of this phenomenon? Now, there's a bunch of people in the lobby, and we're not talking about them today. There's security people out there. You can keep, you know, there's all kind of hospitality team members out there. But every church I've ever been to, there's always a sit-out worship. There was a group here that sits out worship, and I'm sure there's a group out there that's sitting out today. And I'd walk by, and I'd come in. They always go, preacher, I'll be in there in just a minute. I just don't like all that music. And so don't think I got puffed up, because in every church I've ever been in, including this one, there's people that get up and walk out when I stand up. And I used to always think about that. People would say, well, I just don't like the music. I don't like this. I don't like that. And I thought, man, what a witness that somewhere along the line you thought this was about you. And I thought there'd be dads out there. And I thought, man, what a witness to their kids. And we wonder why your kids don't really have any interest in a place like this. And those of you who are grandparents, you wonder why your kids don't really have an interest in a place like this. They've watched you respond. And so they eventually go, I ain't going to the trouble to sit and allow me. I'm just going to stay home. And then they only stay home. Then they say, well, I'm not going to respond to him every day of life. Understand this, that God has called us to worship. It's your purpose. It's his will for you. He says it is a witness to other people. So what do other people say? Another thing is this. As you think about responding to him, God deserves our worship, don't you think? I mean, he deserves our worship. I don't know if you saw it in the opening video, but Psalm 95 was on the screen. If you didn't see it, this is what it said. It says in verse 1, it says, come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. Why would we do that? For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods. And he's simply reminding us the reason that we come and we respond to him in a biblical way today is because he deserves it. It's because of who he is. I saw a commercial this week for the Masters Golf Tournament. One of my favorite events, sporting events in all of the world. It's coming up in April, I believe it is. And one of my favorite parts of that tournament, I mean, you probably don't get to watch this because they don't show it. You have to kind of watch the highlights. Is the ceremonial start of the tournament. On Thursday morning, around 7 a.m. Eastern Time, there'll be some people that will walk out to the first tee. And for years, it's been Arnold Palmer, Jack Nicklaus, and Gary Player. Arnold Palmer passed away some time ago. I'm not really sure who's taking his place this year. But Jack Nicklaus and Gary Player will be there. And for years and years and years after their playing days were really over, and they've had knee replacements and hip replacements, and they kind of walk slower every year to that first tee. I don't know if you've been there or not for that, but thousands of people will gather. And they'll line that tee box as 10, 15, 20 deep. And here come these elderly gentlemen, and they'll kind of stagger out. It's early. And everybody's deathly quiet. They just want to hear anything they have to say. And they'll talk to him. He's like, did you hear what he said? Boy, that was so cool. No matter what they say. Every once in a while, one of them will crack a joke, and everybody will start laughing. It's not even funny. You'd be like, what did he say? I don't know, but it was good. And they get up, and they hit the, each one of them hits one shot. They don't play the tournament. They don't even play that hole. They hit one shot, and here's the thing that you need to notice. They never show the shot. You know why? Because it's not pretty, usually. Every once in a while, you'll know it's not pretty because you'll see Jack Nicklaus or somebody go, they've hit somebody in the audience, you know. But people go nuts. It doesn't matter what they do. If I did that, and I've been playing golf my whole life, if I got up there and hit that shot, everybody would go, why is he here? But those guys, no matter what they do, great. Woo! Why? Because they're the greatest that has ever played. And it's because of what they did that many of them didn't enough to watch. The psalmist is just reminding us, our God is a great God. And not to praise him and not to respond to him biblically is simply to go, you know, you're not that great. If I got up there and hit that tee shot, they'd go, you know, you're not very good. But when we don't respond to God in a biblical way as he's called us to respond, what we're saying to God is, you're just not that great. So you praise him for who he is, but also you praise him for what he's done in your life. Psalm 103, he tells us this. He says, let all that I am praise the Lord. With my whole heart, I will praise his holy name. Let all that I am, look at all, he's everything I've got, man. Praise the Lord. May I never forget the good things he does for me. I wonder what he's done. What's he done for you? And he says right here, he says, he forgives all my sins. Amen. Not just some of them. Not just the 80s, and we needed that. All of them. He forgives all my sins and heals all my diseases. He redeems me from death. And every morning he crowns me with love and tender mercies. He says, you ought to praise me not only because of who I am, but to praise me for what I've done in your life. Has anybody got a part of their story would stand up and say, you know, God's done some stuff in my life? Because not to praise him and not to respond biblically is to say, you ain't done anything for me. You see, when people do stuff for us, you know, what'd you do? You said, thank you, thank you, thank you. And then you wrote them a note, and in the note you probably said, this seems like it's just not enough. Or I feel like thank you's not enough. You know why? Because of what they had done. And so God says, I want to invite you here today, and I call you to worship me, and I've saved you, and it's your purpose to worship me. Matter of fact, I deserve to be worshiped. But here's the thing I want you to understand, is that God determines how we worship. God determines how we worship. Because let's be honest with me. Can we have an honest moment? Everybody online, honest moment. We kind of do our own thing. We got a ritual, a habit, a routine, a tradition. This is kind of my deal that I call worship. And we don't say this out loud, but our spirit communicates it, and he better just like it. Because that's what I do. He said, I would never say that. Oh, no, you don't have to say it because we do it. But God, if it's all about him and it's not about you, then he gets to determine how we respond to him. You know, I've never been at a church that there hadn't been a lot of people come and a lot of people go because of, quote, worship. You know that? That's just part of life. It's probably true of every church, I guess. And people say, you know, I've got to go to another church. I don't like the way we worship here. And I don't ever buy that. I hope if your friends have left the church or if you've left the church and you say, well, I just didn't like the songs they sang, you realize it didn't have anything to do with that. Now, if they're not being biblical in their response, you should have got out a long time ago. But what happens is, and you're feeling it right now, I can tell. I can tell by everybody in here except the people in the camera. But what happens is when we are called to respond biblically, we get uncomfortable. And when we get uncomfortable, two things happen. You can either adjust or run. When you realize for the first time, this is not about you. Now, when you come here and you worship, guess what? You're going to be challenged. You're going to be comforted. You're going to be strengthened. But this is not about you. And so he gets to determine how we do it. And so as we get uncomfortable, we go, I got to find somewhere that makes me comfortable. Because if I get uncomfortable during the 17 minutes of music this morning, guess what? And I begin to respond to him biblically, I'm going to be real uncomfortable. Respond biblically where I'm at work, in my neighborhood, with my friends. Because tomorrow morning there's as much worship going on as there is right now. But when we get uncomfortable, we either adjust and go, you know what? It's not about me. Or we run. And I get back into my comfort zone. You know, in Psalm 150, that passage we read first where it says praise, just kept on saying praise me, praise him, praise the Lord, praise him, praise the Lord. That word is a word in the Hebrew that means to celebrate, to rave, to boast, to make a show. Now, in Mississippi, we would translate, he's about to make a scene. But God says, when you worship me, I need more boasting. I need more raving. I need more shouting. I need more celebration. There's even a part to that Hebrew word says that it is clamorously foolish. You ever looked at somebody and go, well, he's making a fool of himself. God says, let it loose. Because see, he's getting determined how, right? A lot of people say, well, you know, Jeff, I like traditional worship. Isn't that kind of what we say? I like the way it used to be done. Well, all right, Psalm 150. That's traditional. I was at a church some time ago, and they had a, you ever been to a church that had a traditional service and a contemporary service? I was at a church, and they changed clothes in between the services. Nobody told me that. I just had to wear the same thing in both services. Not that I was going to change, but I feel like God would be going, what are you doing? But you know, when we do those things, and listen, man, I'm going to get so much mail about this. I'm sorry. I love everybody out there that's got them. But what we're saying is, you know, it's about you, and it's about you, and it's about you. And I know it's about you because I'm going to dress a different way for you. And we're going to sing a different song for you because it's about you. It ain't about you. It's about him. You say, well, what does he want? He wants everything in the kitchen sink. If you got your Bible, Psalm 150, what you ought to write above Psalm 150 is the kitchen sink. You say, what are all those things? It's everything they had. I read a commentary last night by a very scholarly guy, and I was wondering what he was going to say about that passage. And he simply said, and I quote, this was going to be a noisy celebration. Bring everything in the kitchen sink. You got LED lights? Let those babies flash. We got them. You got stringed instruments? Play them. You got drums? Play them. You got voices? Play them. Can you put this thing out for the world to see? We can, and we are. Everything in the kitchen sink. That's the way I want it. And that's a challenge to us because, let's be honest a little bit now, come on. We've had two honest moments. We won't have but one more. Don't we line up and come into this place many times like we're coming to a funeral? And we sit here like somebody's dead, and we walk out as if we're mourning. But see, when God says, I want you to respond to me, he told us how. You know that the Bible teaches us that we are to sing a new song to him. A lot of people say, I don't like all these new songs. Wait. It wasn't about you. Over and over again, Psalm 33, Psalm 96, Psalm 98, Psalm 144, Psalm 149, the book of Isaiah, over and over again, God says, sing a new song to me. You know what that meant? A song that had never been heard before. Our God is a creative God. Don't bore him by going through the motions. He says, hey, I want you to sing a new song. He's just telling us how he wants it done. You know that in Psalm 47, he says, I want you to clap for me. Oh. I was at a church one time. If I said the name, you'd know it. I was pastor there. I'm not going to say it. You can narrow it down to one of four. I'm going to pray to God they're not watching this morning. We got finished with service one time. We had a lot of folks coming, a lot of new people coming. Guy said, hey, can we talk to you for a minute? I said, yeah. So this group of guys got in the room, said, we got to talk about something real quick. I was like, okay, yeah. I said, what is it? He goes, man, you got to tell them to stop. What? You got to tell them to stop. Stop who? Stop what? You got to tell them to stop clapping. What? Quote, it'll be in my book. We don't clap here. This is a prominent church. And I said, and this will be in the, because you got to have complete honesty. I said, I'm going to leave before God strikes this room and kills all of you. I mean, that's the way I feel. And God's going to go, you shouldn't have said that. There was no need for you to say that, Jeff. But see, he gets to determine. You say, well, I'm not a clapper. That ain't about you. I'm not a singer. It's not about you. When you sing and praises to yourself in your car, stop singing. When you read in Psalm 150, when he says, I want you to bring the cymbals, I want you to clang them again, bring the lyre, bring the drum, bring the trumpet. What did you think? Well, I like worship this way. It's not about you. And so you have to decide, and I have to decide, am I going to respond to God biblically or culturally? Is it going to be about him? Is it going to be about me? Because here's the last thing I want you to understand, is that we all, everybody watching online, we all worship. We all respond to the thing or the person we value most. We all respond with our passion and our energy and our time and our money and our praise and our clapping to that which we value most. We joke in the South that worship happens on Saturdays in the fall. Oh, and that's how I've been preaching for 23 minutes and finally got something everybody's like, yep. That's why I always say, you know, we need more cowbell. We using cowbells on Saturday, we need to be using them on Sunday. Right? You're going to respond to whatever you value. You're going to worship. You'll raise to your feet. You'll clap your hands. You're going to shout to whatever you value. So here's my challenge today. You said, do I got to do all that today? That's between you and God. All I would challenge you today is just to open your heart. You worship the way you do. Let's be honest for just a moment. This is the third time and final time. It's because that's the way you saw it done. Your mom and daddy did it that way. You grew up in that kind of church. Nothing wrong with that. But you got to ask yourself, am I doing it his way? And simply say, God, I didn't get here overnight and I got off track. But I opened my heart to you. I want to respond to you as the one I value most in this moment. But also with my life tomorrow morning. Because tomorrow morning we're going to worship. We're going to respond to life. And that will be your worship. This is a moment. You get it right here? Great. Tomorrow morning, if you get it right, great. But you didn't get here overnight. But today's about taking a step. For many of you, I would say this, and so many watching online, your response today is to say yes to Jesus. Not to a church or a religion, but to a Savior. Respond to Him. Don't just sing another song. Don't go through the motions and going,